Hey, everybody, you're listening to What Are You Doing in Denmark? The podcast that helps you make Denmark make sense. My name is Derek Hartman, and I've been living in Denmark since 2017. And I'm so excited because today we are talking all about the Eurovision Song Contest with somebody who knows the topic very well. Now, a short brief, the Eurovision Song Contest was inaugurated in 1956 by the European Broadcasting Union and was aimed at fostering unity in post-war Europe. Countries from across the European Broadcasting Union include some from North Africa and the Middle East. They all submit songs performed live on television and radio, and it's famous for launching the careers of winners like ABBA and Celine Dion. We couldn't book Celine, but we are joined by an equally talented human whose resume includes designer, author, and TV personality, and we get to talk to him about his songwriting, which was displayed at this year's Dansk Melodi Grand Prix, or Denmark's National Eurovision Selection Contest. Please welcome Andres Attiles Jerk. Welcome to What Are You Doing in Denmark?
Thank you.
Such a broad topic that I can't wait to dive into, Eurovision. As an American, I really only learned about it when I moved here to Denmark, and I've just been captivated. So really excited to talk to somebody who knows a lot more about it than I do.
So excited to be here.
Can't wait to hear your opinions, all of your kind of behind the scenes actions and the things you've been involved with. So
yeah. Well, you guys had one, I think, the American Song Contest. That didn't go that well.
That didn't go so well. No. Yeah. So I'm not actually sure. I didn't watch any of it because
I didn't,
I was a little bit worried about what it would actually become, you know, and I think American music is
different.
It's different.
Yes. Someone had a good idea, but they should probably not just have done it, but it's fine.
On paper, it makes sense. But
yes.
when you boil down to it, don't mess with something that's already so perfect in your vision. And they've had, 60, 70 years now to kind of perfect it. So we tried. I really am excited to hear about your experience with on the ground here in Denmark and in Dansk Melodi Grand Prix. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved with songwriting and especially about your experience?
Of course.
Year?
Yeah. Well, I've watched Dansk Melodi Grand Prix and like MGP, the ones for the kids, like since I was a child. So I've always listened to music, especially like being inspired by music that shows me maybe another culture. So I really always love that Eurovision had this amazing sense of like bringing a lot of different cultures together and like showing stuff that I couldn't see anywhere else. So what happened was I have worked in the fashion and the music business since I was like 15 years old, working with like styling and design within the music industry. So it made sense for me that Eurovision was always on my bucket list to like either be a contender, style something, design something for it. And then I think it was in 2020, actually, my good friend, who's also a stylist, she worked at a Danish broadcast, and she was styling the entire show, but she needed, like, an assistant, a helper, and she was like, so, Andres, do you want to style Eurovision, like, the Danish Eurovision with me? And I was like, this is my moment now. So I was like, I got there, had the meeting, got to do it with her, and we did, like, so we did the 10 artists from Denmark. And then, like, the same week that they did the show in 2020, well, the world shut down.
Oh.
So the entire show, like, ready with styling and everything in Royal Arena for, like, 40,000 people didn't happen. So they did the show, but without the audience. And I was actually in New York when that happened. And I was like, it was nice to see my work on TV, but it was also really, like, sad. And then, you know, what happened, like, the next 2 years was, like, Eurovision was different and weird. Yeah. Nothing really happened. So I feel like I had to, like, kind of do it again. And then randomly last year I got a call from like Warner Music. They were like, so there's this artist, he's gonna be in Danish Eurovision, and we really want to have like a style that's different and very like cool and creative, so we want to like take a meeting with you if you want to. It was actually my husband's 30-year birthday, and I had to go like to a huge birthday party. But I was like, looked at him, I was like, I have a chance to like redo my Eurovision, my Dansk Melodi Grand Prix dream, can I go take this meeting? And he was like, yeah. So I went like from his birthday with the family, I took the meeting for like an hour, and then I went back to like the party.
That is love.
That is love.
Because if you're not familiar with birthday culture in Denmark, a round birthday, as we call it, a 30th birthday, that's
like
big one.
Yeah, and I feel like we were celebrating him all week long. So like for me, but on the day of his birthday. But I went, had the meeting. They loved what I did. I really connected with Riley. And then Yeah, then I just did this amazing upcycle look for him. When I work as a designer, it's all about like creating new stuff, but like utilizing old stuff and then like bringing it into like a new world or like new inspiration. So I took some things he had already and then painted it for him for stage. And it just ended up working. Then I like shared the design process on my TikTok with like all the young followers. So it was kind of like a 360 that made sense with like inviting people into the design process and then seeing it on stage. And then, well, he won. But the crazy thing about it was the entire experience when we went there, it was in Næstved. So it was like out of Copenhagen. And that was kind of weird because, well, I love Næstved. So no hate on that, but it was weird to like go have this huge production outside of Copenhagen and being like, you couldn't really feel the energy of like how it was on TV. Oh, so it was like, we just felt like we went to like a recital of some sorts and he was like doing a show and then we were just sitting there. And then when the votes came in, it was like, we won. And everybody was like, okay, like what are we doing now?
Now what?
Yeah, 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 yeah. It was kind of, and Riley had like his management from the UK and like he was signed in the US. It was like a lot of big things happening, but we were just in Little Næstved and then he just won. And then what happened was they invited me to go with him to Liverpool for Eurovision to do his content, to like keep this work with like behind the scenes being creative. So that was like my first real Eurovision adventure where I was like really present. And then after that, because we didn't do so well, when I came home, I was like, Eurovision and Dansk Melodi Grand Prix is the, for me, it's like the most amazing thing because it's like a little bubble, but it's kind of like the world of music and fashion all mixed to one little bubble that's like 2 to 3, 4 months, like every year. So for me, it's kind of like, why are people not loving this? And I feel like, especially in Denmark, it's kind of been like the last 5 to 6 years, it's kind of been like frowned upon in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I think Denmark has such a successful history of Eurovision. It wasn't too long ago that Emily DeForest won Eurovision, brought the contest to Copenhagen, and you know, since then it has been a bit of a struggle. Yeah. And I actually thought Riley like really had a chance. It was close on the bubble to
he was
making it to the final night of Eurovision.
I think there's this, well, you know that there's Jendelo. And the thing about that is I don't know if it's because like when we won with Emily DeForest, it's like, yay, we won. So now we have to like
bring us down a notch.
Like please take it down a notch and just like be bad for many years and then like let's try again. And actually, so when we went in 2000 with Brønne Olsen, that was Malmö, and we won in Malmö. And we went with Emily DeForest, we went to like Sweden again, and we won. So it's kind of like we're going this year with Zappa. So like, well, fingers crossed.
There we go. Yeah,
it's like it's like every time we go to Sweden, it's kind of like they kind of like us and like our taste in music that year. But also, it's all about the song and the zeitgeist of it. Yeah,
and it's so interesting too that you mentioned, because obviously with your background in fashion, in design, with a visual component, that is so huge in Eurovision.
It is.
And you know, it is, of course, it's a song contest. We all know that. But what really, I think, moves the audience, moves the jurors, is the performance element.
Yeah.
And so much of that is exactly what you talk about, what you bring. And I'm really curious as well, you mentioned TikTok and sort of that social media component. How has that sort of, in the recent years, changed the performance? Because I know Riley was also very big on TikTok.
He is, and
you did a lot of that content. Yeah. I know you're
A content creator myself. Yeah.
Yeah, content creator yourself, going to be doing some content this year.
Yeah, with Zappa as well.
If we
can
tease that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, we can. what I realized also, like, again, working like in between fashion and music for the last, well, 15 years, it was like, when I was on TikTok, I could see like how the contest of Eurovision opened up like 3 months before the show for the first time, like 2 years ago. And especially, of course, with the pandemic, everybody was online. So it was kind of like a lot of things were happening there. And I was like, this is so exciting that I actually get to like dive into the artists and the songs before I see the show. Because usually what you do is when you see Eurovision, it's kind of like the first introduction to all the songs. But in recent years, like I feel like 2 years ago, it changed because everybody was on TikTok. So also like even with Duncan Lawrence that won, and also the girl with the song Snap, like these songs that were like in Eurovision and then all of a sudden they're all over TikTok, like huge hits.
Yes.
Kind of like when you go like number one on the billboards in the UK, no, in the US. So it was just crazy to see how the songs could like be part of Eurovision and then like half a year later, you have one of the biggest songs in the world. And that's exciting because that's what TikTok can do. But when it makes sense also with Eurovision, because people had seen it, they didn't vote for it. the song Snap, and then all of a sudden it became big. That's, for me, that's magic, and that's really exciting to see. And then you can see how a lot of artists have like tried to mimic that when they go to Eurovision and be like, okay, so we can have a good song, we can have a good artist, but what happens if we like start to campaign it like months prior to the show? And that's just the most exciting part. Like when I went to Liverpool last year, there were so many songs, like the Edgar Allan Poe song that I really liked.
Yeah.
But it was like nobody really voted for it because it didn't translate maybe like in the show. But like when you saw the girls on social media, it was so cool. And like for me, that was like a slam dunk when you see in like content and zeitgeist and what's going on. So maybe you don't win the public vote, but the good thing is that you can go out afterwards and have like a moment that people can talk about and then work from that. And that's really what I wanted to try also to do with Riley. The thing is about Denmark that we are so like low key and nil på jorden, everything is like down to earth. So we don't really support too much of people being like the main character.
Standing
like,
out.
Yeah. But that's what I'm against because I've been against that my entire life. And I'm trying to like, make that happen as well with Saba. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so interesting in that being an outsider and talking about things like Jantelown, because I notice it and I do see a lot of people reply when I do mention it in maybe content that I create. We did a couple episodes of the show on it, and a lot of people, even in the comment section, would say, oh, it doesn't really exist. And I'm like, oh,
but it
you
exists.
Don't even know. It does.
I grew up with it. Yeah.
And sometimes you can't see the forest from the trees, right?
No.
And sometimes you don't maybe realize how it's, you are downplaying the success. You don't want to stand out enough. Yeah. Maybe it's just kind of doing something more simple.
Yeah. I also feel like Eurovision, of course, we know it's like, when I go into it, like looking at who's watching Eurovision, it's like we have three parts. So we have like one part, half of Denmark, like Mr. and Mrs. Denmark, like families, older people, like watching the show because it's on TV.
Sure.
And then we have like the kids actually that are like really excited to see a TV show and they can like sit at home and be excited. And then we have the gays, of course.
Yes.
And I feel like it's because Eurovision has created this hub, this creative space where it's like, again, we talked about with Yandelo, it's all about like people being, feeling outside, feeling they don't fit in. And then you can make this amazing melting pot of like cultures and music and diversity and celebration. So of course, us as gay people or whatever you identify as, like we feel like, oh, this is a space where I can just be myself and listen to the music. And of course, after the years have like gone, you can tell how it's more intertwined now. So we don't really think about it. But the people that don't like Eurovision, they know all about it. But I love that it's like a space for artistry and people being unapologetically themselves and just celebration. And that leads me to, I've been again working in the fashion and the music industry for so many years. So I got to know Aura Dione like maybe 8 years ago or something, or maybe more. I was in the studio. She was working on an album. I was like an assistant at that time. And we just, when we found each other, it was like two spirits meeting for like the third time in life or something like that. Aura is like unapologetically an artist. And that's why I think she's had a lot of success in Denmark, but she's also had a lot of success outside of Denmark.
Right. She's had a number one in, I think, Germany.
I think she's had three number ones in Germany, like three number ones on radio. So that's like, that's really success, and you can't so that's crazy. But the thing is that she's like,
and
she's
for
such
years,
a, yeah, for years, not, and she's such an artist, and she has of course hits, but she's like an artist, she's a songwriter, she's such a powerhouse,
and her vocals are so
and she's so real
strong,
And then again, when I came home last year from doing Riley and Eurovision, I was like, I think I started a campaign, like all my friends that are singers, I was like, so who's going to do Eurovision next year? Because I'm signing up. Whatever you want to do, I'm there for you.
So you kind of had the drive from
that because
one
I was like, I was so excited. And also I felt like now that I did all of this with Riley, knowing like how it works and with social media, I was like, okay, so who can I do it with next year? Because I feel like that the Dansk Melodi Grand Prix is like a really untapped scene that people should like use and utilize more. So, well, it wasn't my idea to say like, I'll do this, but I was like talking a lot about it. And then I got married in October last year with my now husband after 12 years. so that was amazing. And then for our wedding, we were like, we're going to do a wedding. kind of traditional, but then not traditional. So we really want to have a family. So we did like a fundraising wedding. So instead of having presents, people would come and like donate money for our like dream to have a family. And then with that was like, okay, so if people have to like donate money for us, we have to give them something, a show. And luckily, because I've been working in the music industry for so many years, I have a lot of all my friends, a lot of them are singers. So we were like, okay, let's do like a mini festival, like a lineup. We've been asking our friends for so many years if they wanted to sing at our wedding, and who's gonna say no to this face? No, but it's like, so we had Aura, we had a lot of different Danish artists, and they were all up for it, which was amazing. So we kind of did this, like we worked a lot with music and family and into like all of this like love story we have, and a lot of feelings and emotions about us wanting to have a family and our friends singing for us. It was a really beautiful wedding. But what happened was that Aura had become a mom last year. So it was kind of like, again, we were like aligning in our energies about this power you feel when you become a mother. I feel like she's like, she was a strong woman before, but now she's like it's goddess vibes. It's like when you feel this, one of your friends becoming a mom, it's so powerful. So she said to me like, so of course she like donated some money for the wedding, for our project. And then she was like, Andres, I started working on a song, like with a songwriter and a producer. I just feel like you have to come and finish the song with me, and we have to do it, send it to Eurovision, and then like it has to go out and generate money that you can use for your baby project. So it was kind of like, it was very beautiful and very touching, and I was crying, and it was like, because it was such a, like her way of saying like, come be part of this with me, and then we can together create something that maybe can go out and make other people happy, and then kind of sustainably like generate my dream as well and her dream. And yeah, it was really touching and beautiful.
That is so beautiful. So, and what a friend that like really knows that the best gift they can give you is something creative, something that you can do together and bond over, and that it's something that will also unite you in that goal of starting a family.
Yes, and also like create something in an energy that's so loving and beautiful. So I went home to her, she played some of the song, like some of parts of the song for me, and we were just like braining, and we were like, oh my God, it's like, it's a miracle of hope. Like the photo miracle of hope is like her creating this, seeing herself as a miracle. And then like, because the miracle is made to like reflect light. So she wanted to like be the miracle on the stage and then reflect like the hopes and the dreams and the love from the audience, and then like give it back. Because I feel like that's what Eurovision is all about. And then it's a song she wrote for her daughter. So beautiful. But then when we sat there, the song was done, we were like screaming like, oh my God, this is so good. I sat with her and I was like, okay, so we have to do a social media campaign. How are we gonna have people talk about this? And then I can't even remember how. I think we were just talking about like fairy tales. We were talking about what would work. What's your biggest dream if Denmark had to go to Malmö and represent? What would be the most Danish thing we could do? And then we started talking about, should you sit in like an Anne Jacobsen chair? Should we, like, we were really thinking about like Danish design. We're thinking about, should we do like, should she be in like the egg, like the chair? Like, should we even have like some of the lamps, you know, some of this Danish design? We're like, should we build a house of only Danish design, and then her be like one of the design things as well? And then we were, of course, like, what about fairies? What about Hans Christian Andersen? Sure. We talked about it all. And then when we said that, I was like, oh my God, I know what you're going to be. Yeah. I know what you're going to be. You're going to be the little effing mermaid sit on top of a mirror ball in Malmö, in water, dancers, like male dancers with no clothes, dancing in water. I had the epiphany like this. Then she looks at me, because I knew it was a crazy idea. She was like, we're going to do that. Let's do it.
And that was so great. I remember watching it, and to me, it just seemed like the most Eurovision. And no shade to any of the other contestants, because I think that this was a very strong lineup of performers.
It really was.
In Das Money Grand Prix, I mean, that competition was thick. And
it really was.
But that was the one that I was like, oh, I totally see this on the Eurovision stage. It was just so... All of those visual elements, and now hearing more about your experience with Riley, I can obviously tell that came from a lot of your influence with being there
in
Liverpool last year, right?
I also feel but also like when you go and see the show, like behind the scenes in Liverpool last year, you really see like the effort people are putting in. You see the production, you see the like this huge production company working with like 8 of the artists because they have budget. And the thing about Denmark and Copenhagen and DR, which is I love the fact that they are like music first, songwriting first, integrity first. I have so much respect for that. But when I went to Liverpool, I was like, yeah, that's good. but what else is there? And I just saw this level of like commitment and creativity and social and like also people just daring to like experiment and being like, so maybe this is a crazy idea, but if it works, it works. And if it doesn't work, like the same with TikTok. If you do a TikTok, that's like, this is so out of character for me. But if it works and if you get out of it what you want, then I feel like we should just invite it in and be like, let's just go there. So when we did the mermaid thing, it was also really like the idea I had was not really the idea people saw on TV. A lot of things were not able to be like executed, and that wasn't like, it was more it's also our own mistake. Like I feel like the show that I envisioned was the show ready for Malmö. I wanted water on the stage. We couldn't get that. I wanted 10 like male half mermaid half naked dancers in the water. We really couldn't get that, and it's not because they didn't want to pay for it, it's just like it wouldn't make sense in Koncerthus in Denmark to do that. Sure. So you scale
it down or scale it up based on the stage.
I feel like maybe our idea was too big for like the scaled down version. Maybe we should have done like a more simple thing and then waited with the mermaid for, but then we were also like, but we can't wait with the mermaid. So it was also a question about lighting, and there were so many things, but what we did was still something we're so proud of. The process was amazing. I hope we can inspire other bigger artists in Denmark, or like just artists in general that participate in Dansk Melodi Grand Prix, to push the limit a little bit more. I'm just gonna say it, I really feel like DR should maybe also hire more creative directors like me. Like they should hire creative people to oversee that, so the artists can like focus on whatever they're doing, and then like people with ideas.
Yeah,
but we can always talk about what I feel like we should do with Dansk Melodi Grand Prix. Well, yeah, moving forward.
That's an excellent segue, and I gotta love when somebody segues themselves. That's perfect. Yeah. Because I really did want to ask you about some of the critique that Dayer got last year that I think maybe had been bubbling up because of the disappointing results for Denmark in recent years, after being a significant powerhouse in recent years, or in previous decades, I guess.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, it's been since, I think, 2013 since a win for Denmark?
Yeah.
I don't think since the pandemic we've made it to the finale of Eurovision, which is
kind of sad as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's below the standard. So there was a bit of critique about sort of the way that the Dansk Melodi Grand Prix is set up, about the way that they're showcases it, and maybe the fact that it hasn't kept up with some other Nordic and Scandinavian counterparts, where, you know, in Sweden you have a multi-day event, so it's much more exposure for the artists, more incentive for bigger names to participate. In Norway, in Finland, you have an element that's set up to recreate the international jury, so that it's not just the people in the nation voting, but you also can kind of test and sort of see how this song will perform when an international jury is looking at it. Denmark hasn't really kept up with that. Dayer has not followed through with that. Do you think that's part of the results, or is that something that Dayer should take a closer look at? What would be your advice?
I think I know, actually, the people that are working with Eurovision. I know, in Denmark, I know that they are working so hard to like crack the code.
Yeah.
But I feel like part of being Danish is like, well, you kind of know by now, because I feel like you are Danish. It's kind of like this, we have this rich history and culture and like respect for what has come before us. So the Danish people are such a tough crowd.
Yeah.
And if you just zoom out and look, like, so Danish people, they love to watch X Factor because we've had it for like 99 seasons, almost 20 years. And then they love to like watch Vild Med Dans, Strictly Come Dancing.
Yes.
Because again, it's been going on for 20 years. Yeah. So it's like people in Denmark really love something that they've known and they know because they feel familiar to it.
Sure.
So I don't think they're so good at like watching a show and then being introduced by something new, because it's kind of like when you look at like social media with TikTok, even, it's like people, they see something, and then in Denmark it's like either you like it or you don't.
Right.
Nobody's really like, this is okay, or like, this is a 7 out of 10. It's kind of like, well, it's kind of like Taylor Swift fans. Either you're like, I love the album, or like people like, I hate the album. We don't have that much like in between anymore.
Yeah.
So I feel like when people are introduced to like 8 new songs in Dansk Melodi Grand Prix, they're like, I like it, I don't like it. And it's really sad, because, well, for many years I was like, why don't we just like merge X Factor and Eurovision?
Sure.
So we could like follow some artists for like 2 months and then like being introduced to whatever's going to happen. So yeah, so just to say on the critique, I get it because it's sad, but I also feel like it also takes some responsibility from the audience because thing is changing a show, but it's also like the people watching it, they should maybe, I don't know if you can like put in the show like an educational thing where it's like, so now you have half an hour and you have to look inside yourself and be like, what song do you think could win on an international stage? Instead of thinking like, what song do I like?
Right.
Because this song is not going to win and then represent, well, it's going to represent Denmark, but it's not going to be played around in Denmark. You have to go and think about what's going on the international scene. What is going on in the other countries? What is Denmark's point of view in the world?
So it's almost like the Danish mentality, the audience mentality is still taking it more in like that X Factor point of view, which is like
kind of, yeah.
What do we like? I can also see as I was saying some of the suggestions that have come up, thinking like, wow, I really don't see Denmark saying, oh, you know what, we should do this not the way we've traditionally been doing it, but do it more like the Swedes. I don't think would be
no trust me,
would as be a popular way.
If they do that, they would hate it even more. Yes. Because it's like no, they just want something that's familiar. I feel like if you just look right now at like Danish music and Danish artists, we have like Murray, we have Lucas Graham, we have so many cool artists,
so many fantastic
in the world.
Yes.
And it's kind of like the music industry, a huge part of the music industry is kind of like looking at Melodi Grand Prix like a bad thing. Like it's right. It's like lowbrow, it's like upcoming, like it's really sad because when you go to Sweden, it's like their biggest pride and joy. So how do we shift that? And then I had an idea, like why don't we, I think we should do like a show where we like present 8 Danish artists. It could be like a lot of the biggest names we have, and then people should vote for like their favorite artists. So then let's say we have a Lucas Graham.
Yes.
So we chose him this year, and then we have another show that's like 20 songwriters that try to write the best song for him.
Ooh, right.
And then he would go do a concert on TV with like 10 songs, and then we would like vote for the best song for him. So kind of like we choose the artist and then afterwards we choose the song, because then it's kind of like more safe bet. Maybe we don't have to critique so many things.
Right.
I think that could be maybe an idea.
Start with the artist.
Yeah.
Almost like in the UK, right? Like having Ali Alexander, who's
oh my God, I love him so much.
Right. Yeah. Fantastic artist. Well established.
Yes.
In the music industry, veteran, you know he can perform on stage.
Exactly.
You know he understands how to take a song and make it his own.
Yes.
And present it well. And obviously somebody like Lucas Graham would fall right into that.
Yeah, because we could stand behind the artist. It could also be like smaller artists, maybe one that hasn't caught a break yet after 10 years.
Yeah.
But the thing about Denmark being like, we stand behind this artist, because now when you win Dansk Melodi Grand Prix, you know that you got the majority of the vote, but you might also have like half the country being like, oh, I didn't vote for you, so I'm not going to see it now.
Oh, right.
And that type of like hate and I don't like that energy is just bad for anyone.
It gets a little tribal.
Yeah. And then especially like this year, like it's just because, it's just sad that we can't just celebrate. I feel like when somebody wins in a sport or whatever, we like, they come back to Copenhagen and we like gather everybody at Rådhuspladsen and like everybody's like yay, and then in Denmark it's like, so well, we have a winner of Dansk Melodi Grand Prix, but we should do like, why doesn't Seba have a huge concert in the city and like playing a lot of songs and everybody's just like praising her. I feel like we should. I feel like what happens in Denmark, especially with Dansk Melodi Grand Prix, is that it actually divides us a little bit more than it should. Because Eurovision is about gathering people in, like, again, you said, in a post-war Europe and like the 50s. So why can't we get together about this in Denmark? It makes no sense.
Yeah, it is interesting because there are, and this is one thing that I love about living in Denmark. I love living in places that have a strong cultural identity.
Yeah.
I come from, I don't expect anybody to know that much about Philadelphia in the US, but we are very passionate about our city. We're very passionate about our sports teams, our food culture.
Steak sandwich, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're very passionate about those sandwiches. And I think Denmark's very similar. So
it is.
You know, it's like when we do win, when a Dane wins something like Tour de France, for example.
Yeah.
Like it's everybody's win.
Yes,
and that's very much how Philadelphia is. So I really love that aspect of living here, and I feel like, Eurovision.
There's something about it with Eurovision that's not
for
connecting.
For some reason, it doesn't. Yes, exactly. And in so many other ways, it does. Yeah,
and it might be like you say, because they know that it's, because Dansk Melodi Grand Prix is kind of like, yeah, we're such a like little close-knit community in Denmark, but something happens when people are like, oh, but you have to go on an international stage. So it's kind of like when we send them out in the world, it's kind of like the Danish togetherness and hygge and all of this, it just disappears and they stand there alone. And I feel like that's really sad. But also like now when I'm doing content for Saba and I'm thinking like, okay, are we trying to connect with Denmark or are we trying to connect with Europe?
Right.
And it's, well, also when I do my own content, it's all about like, who's your audience? And the thing is, what happens when you win Dansk Melodi Grand Prix is kind of like, then the Danish audience kind of goes out the door. And that makes sense why then you would be like, what about us? We voted for you or something. So it's not to say that people are doing that, but it's just so many thoughts in my head that I'm like, it kind of makes sense. So how can we, when you win X Factor in Denmark, you go out and you've won and people have voted for you. We also have a bad track record there. Like people going out and some of them having careers, but many of them are just, again, Danish people are like, bye-bye, because we have another winner next year. So it's kind of like that consistency that we should maybe work on, I think.
It becomes a reality show and not an actual musical contest.
Exactly.
Or highlighting good musicians.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We have so much more to talk about, and we will be back in your feed later this week with all of it. We're going to talk more about the Eurovision Song Contest as a whole, what our favorite songs are from Eurovision, what we predict and expect from this year, as well as behind the scenes things of what we can expect from Saba, Denmark's entry into Eurovision this year. Stay tuned for that, and as always, thanks for listening.